This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to another week of Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, General Manager of WDCX, alongside the co-host of Christ Together Radio, Ryan Cozy. Ryan's the pastor of Missional Living at the Chapel. And conversation we had several months ago, many months ago now, about doing a radio show about what God is doing in Western New York. As we join forces together,
joining forces for good. We're like tag team wrestlers.
Exactly. But many are joining forces in the Christ Together Network, and especially in the Western New York version of that, to see gospel saturation. We talk about that word gospel saturation, Ryan, and we throw it around like everybody knows what it is. So say real quickly what it is.
Yeah, when we think about saturation of the gospel, what we in our minds think about is that that means that every man, every woman, and every child in our geography would have many opportunities to hear, to see, to touch, to engage, and to respond to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so we feel that every man, every woman, and every child of the 1.2 million people that make up Niagara and Erie County need those repeated opportunities, and that's what we labor toward.
Yeah, and God's on a redemption mission for man, and we can never forget that. As we talk about it, we don't ever want to lose sight of the fact of the reality that God loves you, and he loves us, and he's saved us out of a life of trouble and turmoil, and given us an eternal home with him. And, you know, we're all born in sin, and we all need a Savior. And God in his love for man has been on a redemption mission for man from the beginning. And that culminates, and it crescendos in the work of Jesus on the cross and the fact that he saves us from our sin. It's that simple. And so if you want to know more about that, I don't want to be assuming. Yeah. That you might be listening to this program today and you tuned us in and you're wondering, what is this Christ Together thing? Like, does he bind people together? What is this whole thing about? Well, it's about Jesus and his finished work on the cross to save you from a life of sin and separation from God. So if you want to know more about that, give us an email. You can always email us at info@wdcxradio.com, or if you want to talk to the Christ Together guys, it's ctr@wdcxradio.com, and we can get that to any pastor in the region. Joining us today is Christopher Baldwin from the Vine Wesleyan or Jeremy Hazelton from Village Church. They can contact you. Any one of us would love to talk to you more about that. So I don't want to go further in the show, Ryan. We've gone a number of months. I don't want to go further in the show without letting people know why we're doing this, because we believe that gospel message is worth it. It's worth our lives, and the guys in this around this table, you need to know, have given their lives and have given up a lot in many cases, a lot of career potential, a lot of money, honestly, their own money, to follow what Christ has called them to do. And that's valuable, and that's why we bring you Christ Together Radio every week. And Ryan, two great pastors, they were with us last week. They're in the room again with us this week.
Yeah, just looking forward to the conversation, increasing more dialogue around church planting and something that's formerly known in our region as CPI, the Church Planting Initiative. Yeah. And these guys have been great. They're a big part of it, and I am honored and privileged that I get to work alongside of them, not just toward this end, but in other initiatives as well. And God's on the move in the region, and we're excited that he is allowing us to participate in that.
Well, we want to talk about what God is doing in a couple areas and maybe some ideas that are coming in the future, and also what happens when you plant a church. What happens down the road? What about the church down the road? Are they worried? Are they concerned? I don't know. Christopher is going to share with us, and Jeremy too, about what God does generally when a church is planted in an area. So don't go away. Listen to us, and we'll be here for the next hour talking about church planting with Christ Together Radio.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brett Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at the Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, General Manager of WDCX, and just happy to bring you news of what God is doing in Western New York alongside Ryan Cozy, who's the pastor of Missional Living at the Chapel. We've combined forces in a good way.
Yeah.
We could combine forces in a bad way.
We could.
We have an unsanctified side of us. No, I'm just kidding. We're we're bringing you every week different people, different characters in the game of what God is doing throughout Western New York, and in some cases, you know, across our country in different areas of what God is doing, specifically with the Christ Together Network. And it's been really informative, hopefully for you. You've enjoyed hearing stories of God's work as he is on mission. And today we're talking more locally. And last 2 weeks ago was with Jim Murphy, who's I'm super excited bringing the well, he's working with Restoration Church, yep. But he's also bringing a kind of an evangelistic context to mobilizing the people in the church to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and just some fantastic insight from yeah. Jim Murphy. And I'm really looking forward to his addition to the Western New York church community. This week, some really great guys. Jeremy, I'm just getting to know Christopher Baldwin. We've gone to Gettysburg together. We've gone on field trips together. Our boys are friends, and you know, we've known them since our kids started at CCA many moons ago. So just awesome. A wonderful family. And what I love, Ryan, is how there's a personal side to what God is doing in Western New York with the church. And people are actually, pastors and Christian leaders are taking time to kind of fellowship together and hang out a little bit yeah. and talk about what God is. And you start to learn, right, what God does in different contexts, and you can learn from each other and even different views within the Orthodox Church. You can kind of go, oh, okay, I see where they're coming from on that. I think it's really great. I think it's great for the church, and it's great to watch God work. Mm-hmm. So today, Christopher Baldwin, Jeremy Hazelton. Christopher from the Vine Wesleyan Church in Depew, and really neat how you're. How old is the Vine?
We'll be 12 years old in March.
12. So you're an old time. You're an old timer yeah. in the church planning world view. So I'm going to let you handle this question, because we talked about this between shows or in the break, and I wanted to expand on this so people could hear. Mm-hmm. What happens when a church gets planted in an area, mm-hmm. not a region, but just like right around the street mm-hmm. and the block? Mm-hmm. And you've been there 12 years, so you've seen some different things happen, and it sparks some things, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the things I did when we knew we were coming to Lancaster and Depew, and then once we got here and started working on putting team together, core group and things, as I started to connect with the ministerium in Depew and Lancaster. Now there's kind of two of them. There's one mainline and one evangelical, but. One of the things that you read about in church planting is that oftentimes when a new church comes to a community is that there's often a revitalization that happens even in the community, you know, even amongst the other churches. You think the exact opposite, right? If a new church is started, won't that just kind of suck in all of the, you know, good people or people that want to reach the community and you know, won't it just kind of, you know, actually, you know, burn out the other churches? But actually the opposite is true. So, you know, church planting, you can see why God is, I think, really involved in such endeavors, because what we know of church planting is that it is the single most effective way of reaching people, helping them to make a decision for Christ, because you bring a whole community to them. I mean, I think of, you know, some of my days at Eastern Hills, one of the aspects of my portfolio was the pastor of evangelism. Mm-hmm. And so was always trying evangelistic endeavors out of the church. And really, starting new churches is the most significant, because we could mm-hmm. do something and have somebody come from Lancaster and Depew and make a decision, but it might be hard to follow up and they might be in and out of the church. When you plant a church in a community, you've got a place for them, a whole community to be, mm-hmm. for them to be a part of. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, one of the things that has happened with two things in Lancaster and Depew. One is that I just feel like God has revitalized a number of churches, you know, that, you know, they watch some of the other efforts of new churches and they're just like, why can't we do that? You know, why, mm-hmm. you know, we want to reach new families. We want to reach young families, you know, why can't we do something similar? And so all of a sudden it's like churches that were doing the same thing for many, many years, wondering about how to do something different. They do start to do things differently. And so many churches just grow. But one of the things that's happened, you know, really, Michael Nieves and Centerpoint was there a couple years before we were. But since, we've had North Point, which is a Free Will Baptist. We've had Home City. So we actually have two Wesleyan churches in DePue. Mm-hmm. And one or two others. And so within a 1.5-mile radius, you know, I'm one of the oldest churches, you know, in DePue here. And the thing is that these are all thriving bodies of Christ, you know. So when we think about, won't church planting, you know, starting a new church, won't it kill all others? Actually, they're, because it's part of what God's doing, it there's a renewing that is really possible all around.
Jeremy, what have you seen in your context downtown or, you know, on Symphony Circle, which if you don't know what Symphony Circle is, because we have listeners from a bigger region, is it's where what we call Kleinhans Music Hall exists, and it's where the Buffalo Philharmonic plays. So it's kind of a really neat little area.
Yeah.
And it is like a big circle.
It is.
That goes around.
It's an actual circle.
It's a real circle. It's not, yeah, it's not like a circle. It is a circle. So, and you're right there on the corner of it.
Correct.
And in an older Presbyterian church.
Right. So there's actually two congregations that occupy our building. Mm-hmm. The congregation of First Presbyterian Church is still there. They're actually the oldest congregation in the city.
Wow.
They're 210 years old,
How old is the building? I mean, other than like...
So the building's built in two phases. Part of it was started in 1885.
Wow.
And we live in the... We're in the new part that was built in like 1905. Yeah, it's a historic landmark building, and that congregation has been an active congregation for over 200 years. They actually started in a barn downtown, you know, over 200 years ago. Commissioned their first pastor in a barn, you know,
That's
200
amazing.
Years ago, which is crazy to think about.
Wow, what a history!
Yeah, right.
So, what has happened as you've moved into the area?
So, I mean, like Chris said, you know, there's sort of this misnomer that starting a new church, it will by default harm existing churches. And, you know, research bears out that that's not the case. And anecdotally, that's not been the case for us. I mean, what we've seen as our church has begun to grow and have its footing, and we just turned 5 years old in October, is enriched partnerships with other local churches for a variety of things that have been mutually beneficial. So even the other church that's in the building where we meet has seen people find out about them because of some of our efforts to reach out. So, hey, they come and, you know, maybe they're not interested in a more contemporary evangelical style of worship like we have. And they actually have deep resonance with a more high church liturgical setting. And so even in just a, oh, we didn't know they were here or that people were still worshiping here, that's happened. And the inverse is true as well. I mean, people, you know, who've come there and discovered us, and it's been a win-win type situation. I think it's rooted in a wrong understanding, too, that all of the people in a particular area that are going to go to church are already going somewhere, which just isn't the case. I mean,
right.
Probably the main reason that we planted Village Church was to reach people who were not going to church somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I have no interest in sheep swapping, for lack of a better term. Like, I have no interest in that
bringing
whatsoever.
Bringing someone else's problems to you?
Yeah, well, I mean,
even
the most well-adjusted contributing member of a church who mm-hmm. knows and loves Jesus and has been faithfully serving their community,
yeah.
I would much rather them stay and faithfully serve the community that they're a part of.
Yeah. Let's talk about the problem people that church planting brings.
Yeah.
No, I'm totally kidding.
No, I mean, that's a
actually,
very...
I'm not, but...
That's a real thing that happens, too.
Yeah.
But the, you know, when you start a new church, particularly one that has evangelism as a key component that's
right.
near the heart, you know, which is what the CPI is. If we're talking about reducing yeah. lostness in a region, we're not talking about people who are going to church somewhere. We're talking about people who, by definition, are not going to church somewhere, not mm-hmm. connected to Christ, and don't understand the gospel. And so if it's a rising tide lifting all boats situation where a new church causes some other churches to redouble their efforts to reach the lost, man, that's awesome. And you know, in some other very practical ways, a lot of the churches that exist in the city that we're in relationship with, we bolstered some of their efforts because rather than us say, oh, you know, let's invent a brand new homeless ministry, we said, okay, we can't do that because we're trying to get this church up and running, but this church has a homeless ministry. So what if we just sent some people over there and helped them do what they're doing? And so in some very practical ways, it kind of becomes a shot in the arm, you know, for work that they're already engaged in. Oh, hey, you're already helping with refugees? Awesome. What if we just sent some people or some resources to help you in the work you're already doing?
You know, and from what I've noticed, just from experience and just observation of not just church planning, although that is included, but just churches in general, as they become more open-handed and more missional, and with what's going around with churches around them and becoming partnering, I think there's a real spiritual end to that where, God begins to work because as they begin to be open-handed, they begin to realize it's not theirs.
Yeah.
And I think they open themselves up to finally allow God to do it. And he says, okay, you've tried it your way for how many years? Now let's do it my way and realize that it's not up to you.
And it truly is mutually beneficial too, because when you lock arms with some of the people that are already on the ground that have been here a long time, it actually lends credibility to you, who is the new kid on the block. Like when somebody who's been at work in your neighborhood vouches for you and says, "Oh, those are good people."
Yeah.
You know what? Like we actually welcome them here. Right. We're glad that they're here and what they're doing.
Yeah.
Now again, we're describing this like pie in the sky.
Yeah.
Like, of course, there are fleshly days where you sit there and you think, oh man, you know,
yeah, it's messy.
If I do this, are we going to lose some people? You know, what if they start and they borrow guys from our worship band, or what if we actually sent some people, you know, with them? Will we ever get those people back? And we've had the good fortune to see that every time we've been open-handed, like you said, with what God's given to us, it's been replaced over and over again in ways that we couldn't imagine. Mm-hmm. We helped our friends start a church in North Buffalo called Anchor Church. And one of the couples that went with them to get started, had great relationship with them to get started, comprised one-third of our worship team and our only drummer, right? And so in a very practical way, it was like,
so you started taking drum lessons.
I love and bless your efforts, but this is our only drummer, right? Like, what does that mean for us? And
God brought you five drummers.
He did.
It means Jeremy started working on his paradiddles again.
No, he legitimately did. Over the course of the last year, we've had five people join our church, become part of a worship team, who are drummers. And so you find yourself in this place where it's like, okay, God, I get it. Like, sorry that I was trying to like hang on to that. And, you know, like how many times have I seen God show up like this? Mm-hmm. And yet in this one circumstance, I was like, nope, got to hang on. And then you see it again and again and again. And I think that happens not only for church plants, but for existing
churches.
Could
you send a drummer our way, please?
Mm. I mean, you know, we'll see what later. I can do.
We'll talk later. We have a good plan, compensation plan for drummers. It means you get free food on the church picnic.
That's right. I know that Eastern Hills recuperated within 6 months. All the people they sent out with us and all the dollars that they sent out, sent out the door, it was about 6 months, and they were right back to that same place in attendance and funding. So
isn't that amazing?
You can't outgive God. You know,
it's not a cliche.
What
it's
you
real.
Discover, for sure.
Yeah. Ryan, some great stuff happening.
Yeah.
We only have a couple minutes left before a break, so we don't want to get too far into it. But when we come back, let's talk about what God is doing through the church planting initiative. We see two, you know, representations of what has happened with church planting, and let's talk about what's happening moving forward.
Yeah.
Plans, ideas, who's involved, and, you know, where you guys are dreaming it to go down the road. So you're listening to Christ Together Radio. Hey, if you want to check out all of our episodes or programs, you can go to WDCXradio.com, click on programs, go down to Christ Together, and you'll find out a little bit about Ryan, if you're wondering what he looks like. It's his favorite picture of himself.
I look like I'm in an orange prison jumpsuit, so that's what I've been told.
So we had our expert tech team that you try to steal every week pull that off the website. website and put that up there. No, but anyway, if you want to take a little bit and learn about who we are and what we do, and also send us an email. There's a form there you can email, or you can just send it to ctr@wdcxradio.com. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Church Planting Initiative and how Christ Together is involved and not satisfied with you know, just some churches being planted. They want pure saturation. We're going to talk about what that looks like, what that means, and plans that are moving forward, and also maybe give you an opportunity to get involved in some way, even if you have a current church context, not pulling you out of that, but just saying, hey, would you join us on mission as we watch what God is doing in Western New York to reach every man, woman, and child with repeated opportunities to hear and see the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's our goal. And it's biblical. And that's what we're called to do as the church. Christ Together Radio, we'll be right back after this.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy. A co-host on the show, and sorry, Ryan.
We're very close friends.
Yeah, Ryan.
What's your last name again?
Kozoklan. And Ryan Cozy is the pastor of Missional Living at the Chapel, and he's, I do know him, actually, yeah. And been with us for a few months here, and just trying to bring to light what God is doing in Western New York through the Christ Together Network. And today we're talking about church planting, all things church planting, with Christopher Baldwin, pastor of the Vine Wesleyan in DePew, and Jeremy Hazelton, pastor of Village Church right here in Buffalo, down on Symphony Circle near Allentown. And just talking about what God is doing. And there's an initiative called the Church Planting Initiative, right, Ryan? Within
yes.
Christ Together.
Yeah, within the Church of Western New York.
And
yeah.
Some things are happening there. Mm-hmm. Would you tell us tell us what has happened, okay. Briefly again.
Yeah.
And then what plans are for the future and why and what it might look like.
Yeah. So Church Planting Initiative, also known as CPI, was started this year. And we have just come out of our first initiative of raising funds where we've reached out, basically within the Church of Western New York. There were roughly probably about 40 partners, guys, wouldn't you say? 40 churches that said, you know, hey, let me at least sit in on a conversation of what this is all about. And from there, a subcommittee of churches, of which I'm on that subcommittee, Jeremy, Chris, Chad Reiselman from Lumber City and the Bridge Network is on there, Arnie Gwynn from Whitehaven Road Baptist, Rick Rouse from Akron Free Methodist, Dan Trippi from Restoration Church, Derek Castronova from The Well. Am I missing anybody?
That's it?
Yeah. So we kind of got together and began to try to move a discussion forward of, like, how would we formally action to resource churches that want to be planted? And so that has been this year. And right now, where we stand today, we've raised about $200,000. And we've got another 25 decisions that are on hold, meaning that church leaders are reaching out to their elder boards or however they're governed. They're reaching out to their leaders, and they're deciding, how can we do this? Okay. We've set up a DBA. So actually 100% of every dollar is going to go to church planting. There's no oversight. There's no overhead. There's no administrative costs. Dollar for dollar is going into the heart of church planting. And so starting in 2017, we're actually going to take applications for people that want to plant churches. And so we will have the ability in 2017 to allocate roughly, at this point, $200,000 toward church planting. And we hope that number is actually going to grow between now and the end of this year. Churches are interested and they're working on this, but a really fun thing is that now individual people And I think this is important. Like, you know, churches give at different levels, right? So there are some large churches that can give a large amount of money, but there are some small churches that can give a little bit of money. And to be honest, that stuff, when that adds up, it adds up. Yeah. You know, $1,000 a year
you know, you get 10 of those churches, you just got 10 grand. You're an instrumental part of planting churches in Western New York. And we look at that money that way. We don't go, oh, great, you know.
Are you kidding me? You could
do more. It's, man, when you've got a collaborative effort, that stuff adds up, and it's really exciting. And so, but within that, individual donors have come forward and said, I want to hear more about what's going on. And those donors look different, too. So yesterday, a person who's actually connected to our church, they're actually prayerfully considering a church plant work that's going on in their neighborhood, that they may actually leave our church and go to this church plant. But they also, as a family, are committing to praying about how much they can give to CPI. Hmm. In addition to that, you do have some wealthy donors who are going, tell me about this. I want to leave a legacy. Right. I'd like to, you know, I'd like my dollars to go to something like this. So even in the individual donor portion, it's not that it's just wealthy people. It's like everyday folks. Yeah. And so, you know, and just candidly, personally, I'm looking at this going, okay, Lord, how do you want Team Cozy? That's kind of how I refer to my family. Mm-hmm. How is Team Cozy going to be a part of CPI? Above and beyond the tithing that I do and my commitment to my local church and the things that my family is passionate about, you've got individuals that are, as family units or individuals or couples, they're going, and what can I do about this? And we welcome that. I mean, we really are. We're going to see churches planted, and we're going to see them resourced, and they're going to be resourced better than any one church in the region could do it. And to me, I just, that stuff gets me up in the morning and gets me fired up. And so our desire is, what could happen over the next 5 years if we very, very specifically, like this, focus on planting churches in collaboration with one another? And I think there's going to be an incredible amount of fruit that's born out of this. I'm excited about it.
What any one of you three can answer, because you're on the committee. So what's going on right now? I mean, are there church plants being planned other than, I mean, you talked about a couple of those there, but like what area, is there a specific area in our region that needs help, or what is, how do you determine where a church goes?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. You guys mind me answering that one? Okay. We actually have, you know, that could, because people will, you know, when they hear that there's money on the table, it's amazing how many friends you have all of a sudden, you know.
Hey, I'm thinking about doing a church plant. I need 100 grand a year.
Yeah. That happens, you know. But there are people that you connect with. And one of our, you know, there's a few things that we're beginning to prioritize as a leadership team, because, you know, we've got to steward this well.
Right.
It just can't just be buddy-buddy network.
Exactly.
Like, we've got to look at, you know, the landscape of the whole region. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so at one of those things that we do prioritize on the front end of this is one, just helping to understand how God has broken the heart of the particular individual mm-hmm. to want to plant a church. How has God broken your heart for the lostness of the geography that you say you want to plant in? That's very important to us, and that's going to continue to be very important to us.
Because when the time gets tough, that's what's going to keep them in the game. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's a point at which every one of us that's stepped out in faith, you know, to do something like this, there's a point at which it just doesn't seem to make sense, and you cling to your calling.
Yeah.
God, you called me to do this.
You guys ever been there?
Oh, yeah.
I have him, what I do, too.
Yeah.
When Josh is over there doing it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, it's a very real thing. And so we want to know, like, how has God broken your heart for the lostness of the geography that you say you want to plant in?
Right.
And then there's just another, there's another variable. There's a handful of others, but another one very specific to this question is, well, then let's look at the geography. And let's look at the geography with where you want to plant. And let's look at a couple things. Number one, let's look at where our partners are at in relation to that. And then let's look at the density of the population. Mm-hmm. And then let's look at, you know, does it make sense for us based on the whole region? Does it make sense for us to invest there based on where churches are that have a passion for every man, woman, and child versus where churches are not yet? Mm-hmm. And so that takes us to rural places. It takes us to suburban places, and it takes us to urban places. And when we look at the landscape of Western New York in the urban core, there's you know, a couple of cities that we really focus in on in terms of urban would be Lockport, would be Niagara Falls, would be Buffalo. And it, you know, of 1.2 million people, we can say there's roughly 400,000 of those 1.2 million people are in those three places.
Mm-hmm.
But it also means that 800,000 are in the other places.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just try to manage that as as best we can. And so this next year is an exciting year for us. We're going to learn. It's not going to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. But we've tried to put ourselves in a position where we can objectively make a subjective decision. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of trust on the front end of this. I mean, the idea that we've raised a couple hundred thousand dollars is not negligible. And it's our prayer and our desire that we could steward this well.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that would be maybe helpful to clarify, and a lot of people don't understand about church planting, mm-hmm. is very rarely is there just some magic a place where you go to find resources as a church planter.
Yeah.
You know, when you're going to plant a new church, you know, churches are largely sustained by tithes and offerings.
For you who don't have people.
And if you don't have a congregation that is tithing and giving right. offerings, there is no mm-hmm. resource pool to right. to draw from. And so the very practical backbone side of this church planting initiative is this is a revenue stream. Not the only one, but a revenue stream that right. helps a church planter accomplish that vision.
And many times, church planting doesn't happen in a context where you get all your money from one place.
Of course.
You're getting $50 here and $1,000 from this guy and this ministry and Baptist or whoever's giving.
I mean, that's one of the criteria that we're looking for as we evaluate potential plants to invest in. Who else is on your team?
Right.
What other broad, you know, network of support do you have?
Yeah.
Because this can't be the only thing that's helping.
Well, it's a lot to steward because even though $200,000 seems like a lot of money, it's expensive to start a church. I mean,
sure.
You're starting a church where typically it's a family that's involved in every way and shape and form. It's not a guy or a girl or whoever starting a church. It's a family starting a church.
Right.
And they have to give everything to it.
And particularly on the front end, there are so many, in the same way that you don't have a congregation, you don't have all of the tangible stuff that you mm-hmm. need to host a gathering. You don't have a venue, so you've mm-hmm. got to sign a lease on a venue or arrange to rent a room somewhere. Or if you're in a house church, you've got to feed people or figure right. things out. Like, if you don't have a sound system or a website, or like literally starting from scratch, mm-hmm. you know, when you're church planning, you have nothing.
Right.
And so the expense of that on the front end is significant.
Yeah.
And being able to I like to think about this as it's not venture capital because you don't get your money back. It's angel capital is what one friend who invested in us describes it as. It is investing money in what you hope will produce harvest that you maybe never will get to be a part of.
Right.
And it's really humbling to think about the fact that our church exists because people in places like Louisville, Kentucky and Baltimore, Maryland and Gettysville, New York seeded resources to help us get started, and now we get the opportunity to turn around and do that.
That's right.
For these other new churches.
So much of gospel work is that way. It's a sacrifice on the front end to not really maybe ever experienced results here on earth until we get to heaven. We won't know the names and numbers. Same thing with this, with what we're doing right now. We don't know who's listening. That
sounds almost biblical.
It's
Apollos
almost,
planted, I watered, God produces
God
the harvest.
Produces
like
the harvest,
that.
And you just never know. Right, Christopher,
well,
you had something to add to
even
that?
Beyond dollars, that if there's a network that is there. We know that pastoral ministry is one of the loneliest occupations. Mm-hmm. Church planting can be a very lonely endeavor. And so if you have a network and you have relationships and, you know, because I think what we're offering is not only dollars, but is prayer and prayer partners. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's exciting to me to think of welcoming individuals, you know, how this is going to unfold. But people that are here, but that are that will be coming here, that would be a part of, you know, what is bigger. And I think it's just, you know, has the potential of just continuing to grow as a result. And so I think that, you know, coming to a region and saying, like, there's a network of, you know, this and there's all of these stories of which, you know, we're looking to you to be mm-hmm. the next one. And they're excited about it. Mm-hmm. The other is that I'm drawing a blank.
That's
there,
okay. Instead of my dad used to call it Sometimer's disease. Yeah. Sometimes I can remember things. Sometimes I can't.
Yeah. So that was it. I got it now. I have a feeling. You know, one of the things that's happening that God's been doing for a while in the nation is that what we do know is that there are organizations that have been created. You know, that are interested in church planting, and so I think once some of them get word of what is taking place in Western New York, that there's going to be some relationships built there, mm-hmm. and there's going to be some, you know, I think that God's going to bring to our region some, you know, people that are significant and that are, you know, really have a heart for this, have a passion for it, and I think have the potential to do very well.
That connection to network is a major thing. Like the church planting organization that helped us get started is called the Orchard Group. They're headquartered in New York City. Mm-hmm. The nearest Orchard Group plant to Buffalo is in Pittsburgh. So in terms of
– It's a long drive
yeah,
for
right.
lunch.
So, I mean, and they do a great job, you know, better than most. I'm obviously drinking the Kool-Aid. But, they do a great job of connecting us to one another.
Right.
But the notion that a church planter would now be connected across their denomination or their tribe to 25, 30 other churches.
You said the word that I was thinking, tribe. They always say, look, you need a tribe. You need someone to walk through this.
And so
you
come through, you not only get some resources, but now you've got, you know, 25 local pastors who – almost all of whom have participated in church planting, mm-hmm. in your phone book.
Yeah.
You know, hey, man, I need somebody to talk to about this. How did this work for you? Or I want to quit today. Could you talk me off the ledge? Like, could you help me with that today? Yeah. That's a real thing and not a small thing.
Right. It's not. I'm continuing on. It's the long road. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And, you know, faithfulness in the long road is what gets you through those tough times. When we come back, I want to briefly touch on how do we find church planters? OK, we got the money. We got the idea. How do we – where are these guys coming from?
Great question.
So and maybe some of the methods that you guys use. And then also, how do we know someone is able to do this? It takes a unique personality. I got some unique birds in this room. And I want you guys to share what you think it takes to become a church planner and to do this. It's not all glitz and glamour, and it's kind of becoming like a popular kind of end thing to do. And maybe some of the risks that are involved there. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, along with Ryan Cozy, Christopher Baldwin, Jeremy Hazelton joining us in studio today. We're talking all things church planning, and we have a couple more segments left to talk about what God is doing in Western New York and how he wants to have us join him on mission. We'll be right back at Christ Together Radio.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on his mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Christ Together Radio. We're talking all things church planning today on Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, general manager of WDCX, alongside Ryan Cozy, who's the pastor of Missional Living at the Chapel. Lead pastors Christopher Baldwin and Jeremy Hazelton joining us in studio as well. So we pull out the big guns today to talk all things church planning for the last few weeks. And these guys have done it. They're like the Special Forces Navy SEALs of church ministry. And we're drawing our knowledge from...
They're in fine physical shape,
fine,
by the way.
Oh, yeah. These guys can... Yeah, they're... They're trained assassins.
That's right.
For the gospel. And we're just excited about learning from them today. What church planning looks like, some of the difficulties, and then also how it can just really enhance what God is doing in an area and how God uses church planning. We talked about some of the issues with fundraising and you know, the financial part and what how Christ Together is actually helping to solve some of that issue. To me, the big issue, and we touched on it briefly, but the big issue is the who. Mm. We even see that in the Bible. You know, who's going to go? All throughout the New Testament, you know, the harvest is there. People who need Jesus are out there. Hurting people are out there. Who's going to go do it? And I know that many church planting organizations, you know, they have their their hurdles to jump through and assessment kind of things. And how does Christ Together, like someone comes to you and says, I just really feel like I want to plant a church in wherever. I'm not even going to name a place because somebody will think that that's happening. So, and how do you go, okay, this person's legit. They're ready to do this. They're not ready to do this. How do you know, Ryan?
Well, actually, I'm going to have Jeremy and Chris give their feedback on that.
Passing the buck.
No, but because, one, they've done it.
Right.
And honestly, there's a reason why I've asked them to be on the subcommittee, because of their connection to it,
yeah,
and because of the experience that they've had with personally being assessed, maybe in different ways. So
sure,
I'll turn it over to you guys.
Sure. I mean, I would say a couple of things. One, finding people who are interested in planting a church. Of course, there are assessments, and there are, you know, there's a baseline criteria for a person who has the ability to do this. But for me, it really comes down to like who's vouching for this person.
Mm-hmm.
So are they coming from a healthy church situation where they're being blessed and sent out? I think to be a church planter in some way, you do have to be sent. Not only accept a call from God, but, you know, healthy church planting is about being sent. It's not about, you know, rebelling from something or running from something. It's about living into a call that you've been given. And so there are very practical ways. There are tools and assessments that exist. And obviously those are things that we take into account as it relates to vetting a church plant proposal for CPI. But I think on another level, you have to be a little unhinged to want to plant a church. Like Chris and I were on a podcast a couple of weeks ago talking about this same thing, and that's the phrase I kept coming back to. Like you have to be a little unhinged to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's harder than starting your own business from scratch, although it has a lot in common with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder than doing established ministry. It's harder than you know, getting a job and doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's in your mind, what is the most difficult part that takes that unhinged person? Like what aspect of it was just so tough for you?
Yeah, well, there are several things,
okay.
but part of it is translating your passion and your dreams for something into reality requires an incredible amount of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Keller, who planted a Redeemer Church in New York, says in his book on church planting that you have to work at a pace in the first 18 to 24 months of your church plant that would be sinful for you to work at for longer than that.
Hmm.
That the amount of blood, sweat, and tears that you have to put into this thing to make it go, you know, you essentially have to make a promise to your spouse that you're going to come back to normalcy at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he tells a great story about coming home to his wife, breaking dishes and mm-hmm. calling him a covenant breaker because he was working too hard. And there's a very real piece of that is true. And it really is about caring too much. Like you're invested in this thing, and it becomes, it's really hard to have downtime, because
yeah,
when you lay your head on your pillow at night, you're thinking about
right,
all the things that still need to happen, and it's not just the practical, like, oh, we need to buy gear and set up service, whatever. It's mm-hmm. the, oh my gosh, I only took 5 meetings with people today, and think about all the people in my neighborhood that I still need to meet with. Think about all the people who are still far from God. Think about
mm-hmm.
this. And so there's this weird tension between balancing this sense of urgency of
mm-hmm.
there are so many people here who need to be impacted by the gospel with the realities of I'm a human being who also happens to be married and has children
right,
and would like them to know who I am. You know, like
mm-hmm.
those are real things that happen. In addition to just, you know, when we first started, and I think this is true for you too, Chris, we were portable. So
yeah,
there's no church building. There's no... So every
set up, tear down.
Every
set up,
single
tear
Sunday,
down.
Just to yeah, put together an hour and 10 minute gathering, you know, you're moving gear and equipment, and you're getting up early and bringing a change of clothes because you sweat through the first set while you're setting up, and you know, I mean, there's just a lot of very practical things about it that make it difficult.
I have a
as
friend
well.
In Albany, very difficult market to start a church, most biblically illiterate city in the country.
Yeah, right.
Who's still mobile after 10 years of a church plant. He's got people showing up at like 5 a.m. in his church after 10 years. It's a long road.
And you're dealing with volunteers. It's not like you can tell people, you know, hey, if you miss your 6 a.m. call time to help with load-in, you're out. Like, no, you can actually miss 3 out of 4 Sundays, and I will still buy you coffee the day you show
up. You can be late every other one.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Chris, what was tough for you?
Well, if I can share you a story that I won't forget. This was probably the moment that, you know, a lot came for me, but was a time that my son Jared was asked in kindergarten to draw his family. And so he drew mom and dad, and then our two boys that we have, Josh and Jared, and then he drew this large box next to me. And so he brought that home and he said, "What is that?" And he goes, "Well, that's Daddy's phone." And you know, it's like, oh man, you know, that you know, I mean, that this was the, you know, the Jared, you know, was born while we were starting the church. And so this has been, you know, essentially what he felt like was his first 5 years, is that what he met with my phone, obviously, is just, you know, the connecting and the texting and the phone calling and just how all of that is is quite insane. And so you know, but you try to press through those things and, but eventually, you know, you hope and you pray that, you know, what is built then is that place where you've got people that, you know, are in that and they're journeying with you and you know, more of that a load is shared. And but it's very different from pastoral ministry, and it takes some gifts and capacities that are different. There is actually you can, you know, Google it, you know, but the great thing is that, you know, really, there's a lot of church planting that was started in the 90s. And so as more of it's been happening in the 90s and the early 2000s, we're learning more and more about church planting. And so I think that there are networks and there are denominations who are doing it better from the lessons that they've learned now of 25 years of church planting. But you could actually Google Ridley's 13 characteristics. That's typically the marker for assessment. And it is. It's visionary and capacity. It's, you know, reaching unchurched people, you know, creating ownership of ministry, intrinsically motivated, I'm just giving you some of the top five, and the other fifth one is spousal support, spousal cooperation. You know, I mean, those are the initial first pieces that have to be in place. You know, you have to see them. If you've got a couple, you got an individual that, you know, you feel like is going to be, you know, successful. But yeah, there's a certain obsession which I think comes with anybody who, you know, is starting, you know, a new endeavor. It's just got to be an understanding, and you just keep holding on to, you know, this is the vision that God has given.
And so that's what you guys look for, is those things, and compatibility. And
sure. I mean, when he talks about like the Ridley's things, those top five, you know, the spousal cooperation one is one that I think gets brushed aside often. And I had a mentor tell me early on, and I think this is 100% true, that if your spouse is not also called to plant a church, you're not called to plant a church.
Yeah.
You know, it is taxing. You know, when you're engaging with the high level of lostness, you're not dealing with people who are buttoned up and put together. You're dealing with people whose lives are in various states of disarray. Yeah. And pastoring people and including them in your home and, you know, fostering a community where you belong to one another, and you're opening your home to people in difficult times and walking through that. Mm-hmm. If your spouse is not on board with that and called to it, you're just setting yourself up for a world of difficulty, because it's going to be hard even when they're called.
Yeah,
like you're still going to have conversations with each other about
those plates breaking are going to
That's
end up over your head.
Yeah, that's a real thing, and it's not because your spouse doesn't, you know, feel the weight of the call the same way you do. It, like, of course they do.
Right.
I mean, you couldn't do it without that.
Right. Ryan. I'm listening to this, and I want to get involved. I want to help bring the gospel through church planting to Western New York. What can I do?
Yeah, I mean, there are four ways that I think people can help, and this goes back to my support raising days when I was with Great Commission Ministries, and I was involved with church planting on college campuses. There's really four ways that people can help. Number one is they can pray. If you hear about this and your heart is excited for this, then we need you to commit to praying for the people that God is raising up to plant these churches, that God would keep their families healthy, that God would keep them pure, that he would keep them holy, that he would keep them longing after them, that they would never lose sight of the fact that God is to be glorified in how we do this. We need a team of prayer warriors to do that. Mm-hmm. And so that's an incredibly important thing. Number two, we need people to get involved in volunteering. So as these plants happen, God may be working in your heart where he may not have made you to be the lead planter in a church plant, but he may have raised you up to be an incredible teammate to make sure that the person who God is calling to lead this, or the team that he's calling to lead, that you could be an instrumental role player in that team, and you, through your volunteerism, that you could do some great stuff in helping that team. And it may require that God transplants you from one church to another. Mm-hmm. And I always say in that, just make sure that that's just not crystal clear to you and not your lead team, your pastor. God gave me a vision. Well, he may not have given your pastor the same vision. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be really dialed in communication about that. But volunteerism is a second thing. A third thing is letting other people know about this. Mm-hmm. That we have a team of folks that has raised up financial resources to have this happen, and praise God for that. Mm-hmm. But it's never going to be a point where we say, yeah, you know what, that's enough, we don't need any more help.
Yeah, right.
We need others to know about this. So you're hearing about this on the radio, and you have a social network of people that may not be listening. You need to let them know about this. You need to let them know that there's something going on in Western New York. This CPI thing, have you heard about it? Begin to share with others about how they can be involved in it. And then the fourth way, it is a very practical way. We need financial partners. Mm-hmm. And so just as we personally sat down with the 40-plus churches a short time ago, we specifically asked, like D.L. Moody, the model of support raising. Moody not only cast vision, he also talked about how you can participate financially in that.
Right.
And so we kind of employ that same idea, that here's the vision that God's given us. Would you like to financially commit to this? And so we need a team of financial partners to commit to this as well. And so you might ask, like, okay, well, I'm interested in praying, I'm interested in volunteering, or I'm interested in letting others know about this, or I'm interested in financial partnership. Who do I talk to? I would just say, feel free to touch base with me. I can give my email. I know we have a general email, but let me give you my email.
Sure.
It's rkozey@thechapel.com. And if you're interested in that, touch base with me and we can talk about the areas that you're interested in. rkozey@thechapel.com. I can promise you this, if you're reaching out to me about CPI, I will get back in touch with you, because this is bigger as an idea than the three people in this room, the four of us in this room. But this is the way in which I think viral contagion-like things happen.
Yeah.
So those four ways are very clear ways that you can partner with us as we seek to bring God glory and saturate this region with the gospel.
Ryan Cozey, he's the pastor of Missional Living, and you can tell why. These guys are passionate about what they do. Christopher Baldwin, lead pastor of the Vine Wesleyan Church here in DePew, and Jeremy Hazelton, pastor of the Village Church, joined us for the past few weeks. We hate to see it wind down. We talked about church planting and covered a whole wide range of things. So if you want to hear more, if you're listening to this and you didn't catch the first week, go to WDCXradio.com, click on Programs, Christ Together Radio, and you can listen to all of our old broadcasts about Christ Together Radio. If you haven't figured out, Christ Together Radio is about the idea of the Christ Together Network coming together for gospel saturation. And there's multiple buckets that include, kind of wrap up all of what Christ Together is doing. And the church planting arm is a major portion, especially with the new church planting initiative going on within the context of the Western New York Christ Together Network. Ryan, great to hear about this. Looking forward to next week, as always, and we'll be here Sundays at 11 a.m. Make sure you join us on Christ Together Network. I'm Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy, and again, Christopher Baldwin and Jeremy Hazelton. Thank you, guys.
No, thank you.
Have a blessed week. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.